And now, coming to you nearly live from deep within a mine shaft underneath Gold Hill, Nevada in Story County, it's the Storyteller Podcast. Hey, welcome once again. This is your host, Sam Toll, and I'm coming to you today on Wednesday, October 31st. It's Halloween. Hopefully, all those little trick-or-treaters are either going to come to your house or you're going to take them to someone else's house, or you're just going to turn your lights out and be, a Scrooge or the ghost of Marley. Anyway, this podcast is recorded a couple weeks ago. That's D. Gregory on America Matters interviewing Nicole Bard, who is running for county commissioner. If you haven't made up your mind as to who you're voting for on November 6th or today, early voting day, give this a listen and then listen to Jay Carmona's interview, which is in the show notes. You'll find two very distinct and very different candidates, very different types of answers, very different people who are asking for your vote to represent you. Tomorrow I'll be releasing a podcast that D. Gregory and I recorded a couple weeks ago, and then today I'm going to be on D. Gregory's show again on America Matters, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., 1180 on your AM dial. I'm going to be talking to him about my candidacy, why I'm running. I think that there's some very clear differences between my opponent, Fire Chief Jeff Nevin, and myself. Those differences are clear. I think they represent an opportunity for folks to have a serious choice between Mr. Nevin and myself. We both represent some different interests, and we both have different backgrounds, and we both have perhaps a different approach that we're going to take to the job. I invite you to listen to my interview, but first, let's go ahead and get to the message of the day, which is Nicole Bard and D. Gregory talking about Nicole's vision for the county, what she hopes to accomplish if elected. And so without any further ado, it's D. Gregory, Nicole Bard with Crap, Lies, and Rumors, recorded earlier this month.
Now the race is on and here comes pride up the backstretch. Heartaches are going to the inside. My tears are holding back. They're trying not to fall. My heart's out of the running. For another's sake, the race is on and it looks like heartaches, and the winner loses all.
Hello and welcome to Crap, Lies, and Rumors. My name is D. Gregory. Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is so good to be back. 1180 AM KCKQ or around the world on the World Wide Web at americamatters.us. If you miss any portion of this show, do not fret. It will be available within about 30 minutes after the show is over today at noon. It'll be available online. You could go to the website, click on podcast, scroll down to the C's alphabetically, Crap, Lies, and Rumors. Click on that and choose any show, past show, including today's, that you want to hear. And you can listen to that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I encourage you to do that. If you'd like to call in today, we'd love to hear from you. Our guest is Nicole Bard, candidate for Story County Commissioner. Phone number toll-free from anywhere in the world, 844-790-TALK. That's 844-790-8255. Yes, yes, Kelly, I remembered the 8255.
I'm proud of
it. My co-host and the one who always brings a lot of interest to the show and challenges mentally for me, Kelly Rush. Thank you for being here, Kelly.
Thank you, sir.
Craig, our engineer over in the studio, who may or may not be listening right now. Are you awake? Yeah, he's awake. He's studying. He is so quick on the searches. We ask a question in here between ourselves, and boom, he's got an answer for us. And so I know that's probably going to happen today as well. So thank you, everybody, for being here. Nicole, I want to welcome you to the show. This first time we've been in the studio together. I had you about 6-8 weeks ago. You was able to call in. You were between appearances that you're doing for your campaign, and you were able to take about 15 minutes and call in, but it's great to have you in the studio today.
Great to be here, Dee. Thank you.
All righty. So here, I'll say this up front. There are probably maybe a few extra listeners. I did this morning. I meant to last night, but I did put out on the Virginia City Highlands blog email thing. I was able to hit it. I was at another candidate's night out in Fallon last night for a couple of guests that I had, and one that is coming up, a judge. And my cell service is really bad out there. And I meant to post last night that you were going to be on the show so that Story County residents can tune in. There may still be many who are unsure who they want to vote for. Our goal on this show is to allow the voters to become as informed as they can, so the day they go to the voting booth and go to hit that button or whoever they want, that they're as wise and as educated as they can be. And the only way to do that is to get to know the candidates. You've done many, many personal appearances over these last several months, and you've got several more to do. And I do thank you for taking the time to be on our show today. This show, Crap, Lies, and Rumors, we try not to start them. However, we dispel them if we can, and we get the candidate. We ask straight up what we've heard. You tell us if it's crap, lie, or rumor, and if it's an out-and-out lie, we'd ask for clarification and get your side of the story. Other than that, we do want to talk about some of the issues pressing for Story County. And a little bit later in the show, I want to thank you personally for something you did, which was extremely professional, and we'll do that probably after the second break. Just Kelly, if you would remind me to bring that up, I do want to thank her publicly for something that she did. All right. So here we are, Nicole. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Crap, lies, and rumors. I'm going to have some direct questions in just a little bit. But right now, could you please help our listeners get to know you just a little bit better? We're not talking campaign right now. We're talking Nicole, the woman, Nicole. Let us get to know you. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born in a small log cabin in the woods.
I was born a coal miner's daughter.
No. Well, first of all, I'm an immigrant. I wasn't born in this country. I was born in Venezuela. Not my fault.
If we had that, you tell me if we had the wall years ago, she wouldn't even be here today.
That's right. Okay. I'd have to dig under it. My father was an airline pilot, so he got transferred from his company, Ranza, which was a Venezuelan airline, to Miami, which is where I grew up, and I spent, I don't know, until I was 17 in lovely Miami. And my father's French. He's deceased, but he was French, and my mother was a British Crown Colony resident. And every couple of months, they'd send me back to my grandparents in France, and so I had experience with that. And after high school, my father got another job with Japan Airlines, and we moved, and I lived in Japan for 2 years, which is where I spent the first couple of years of college. And then he got another job with a Middle Eastern airline, and he and my mom went to the Middle East, and I went to school in Oregon. So I went to University of Oregon. Yay, Ducks.
Ducks, go Ducks.
Go Ducks. And a couple of years out of college, I got my job, my first real job in the corporate world with Intel Corporation. And so, you know, as I said, I was born outside this country. My first language was French. My second language was Spanish. My third language was English, and I barely can speak English.
And you went to work for Intel. And I was reading a little bit up on your biography and some of the things you were sharing as a candidate. And how many years were you with Intel? And briefly, what was your job? Where did you start, and where did you end as far as position or responsibility?
I spent almost 20 years with Intel. I started out at the bottom of the ladder as a grade 3, as an individual contributor recruiter. And I ended up grade 11 as a director of executive development, organizational development, diversity. I was also the diversity director. And in between those two jobs, I also worked in marketing for a while and worked in three of our domestic facilities and had staff all over the world.
Wow. And I can't get over your international exposure and experience. And I can imagine Intel just ate that up.
It was phenomenal. I mean, while I was there, I, you know, traveled all over. I went to Hong Kong, went to Israel. I mean, I had staff in those locations, so that's where I had to go. And the cultural differences of what I had to manage, because I had staff all over, was also extremely interesting.
Absolutely. And I worked in IT throughout that time period as well. And the international the need to be able to understand and deal with international cultures was critical.
Oh, folks, yeah. We're listening to Crap, Lies, and Rumors with me, Dee Gregory. We have Nicole Bard, candidate for Commissioner Story County. We're going to be back right after this to talk with her more. Hello and welcome back to Crap, Lies, and Rumors. My name is Dee Gregory with my co-host Kelly Rush here on KCKQ 1180 AM on the World Wide Web. You can hear us anywhere on the globe and perhaps up in space as well through the satellites at americamatters.us. Thanks for joining us today. Our guest is Nicole Bard, candidate for Commissioner Story County. Prior to the break, she shared with us a little bit about her, where she came from, where she was born, her education, and the job in her corporate world. One thing that we ran out of time that I do want to ask you about before we move on to what you're doing and why you're doing it now is, at that time, you said it was Intel, right? So we can mention them by name.
Of course.
Okay. Yes. What was the environment for women in the workplace? I mean, was there resistance? Did you find it challenging? Was every day a fight? Or was it not near as bad as people say that it was for women? I don't know. It's an honest question.
It's an honest question, and I can only answer for my experience. I can't answer for women's experience. Okay.
Okay.
It was difficult for a number of reasons. One is, yes, I was a woman, but I was also a non-technical woman in a technical environment. And so what that means is I was working with engineers. They had masters and PhDs and double E's and chem E's and, you know, la-da-da. And so there was, you're in a technology company and you don't have a technology degree. So that's not because you're a woman. I mean, even the men who didn't have that technology degree, you know, were not, you know, they were just looked down upon because, of course, you're not technical. So that was one thing. So I was a non-technical person in a technical environment. And to the extent that I was sitting on all these staffs, because I was in human resources at the time, and the staffs were comprised predominantly of men, and I was one of few women on those staffs. So I was a non-technical in a technical world, and I was a female in a predominantly male staff.
Were you viewed as a threat?
No, not at all.
No.
They essentially viewed you as a necessary evil for what it was that you were, you know, what your job was.
Yeah.
And the environment, especially at Intel, and it's the same today, is it's a very competitive environment. It's an environment based on meritocracy. You make it up the ladder through merit. It's what you do and how you contribute that essentially, you know, helps you, you know, move up the ladder. And I moved up the ladder pretty quickly and got pretty high because I performed, because I delivered. I was paid handsomely because I earned it, and it allowed me to retire early. So having said that, it was not without its harassing moments, especially in the 80s. Yes, your boss would ask you on these quarterly parties, you know, hey, would you like to dance? And you felt compelled to say yes. And then, of course, you're on the dance floor dancing with him as he's pressing himself against you. And so those were those were the waters we swam in.
Sure.
And that, of course, became less and less as we started to, you know, become more educated, as women started to speak up, including me, as we started to essentially train our managers and our women managers, too, on what's okay and what's not okay in the workforce. Because it doesn't have to be sexual harassment. It can be creating a hostile work environment,
sure. Yeah.
Which is objectionable.
Okay. Now, right.
I think it's kind of ironic to sexually harass the HR lady.
Well, yeah. There you go. When I got into marketing, it was even worse.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Really? Hey, okay, so the reason you're here today, I ask you to be on the show because you have decided to throw your hat into the ring to become a commissioner for Story County, which I'm just going to say this, has been, and currently the three sitting members are all men. All right. So you have now chose to enter that world. If you get elected, you'll be one woman, two men of the three making the decisions for Story County. That's not yet my question, although it may be a challenge. Here is my real question. Why do you want to be commissioner in Story County? And then we'll follow that up with a few other questions. But why do you want to be a commissioner?
Short answer is because I think I can contribute a great deal. Given the background that I have in corporate America, which, you know, one of the things that I did at Intel when I was the manager of couple of the college relations departments was I worked with universities, I worked with community colleges and even high schools in sending our engineers into those, you know, into those institutions to teach technology classes. We had our folks that were taking sabbaticals in the schools. And so looking at what we have here in Story County with TRI and several very high-powered technology companies and looking at our school district, I think that I can help the county and that school district really liaison and work with those high-tech companies to help us improve our school district from that standpoint, because I was on the corporate side of the kinds of requests that schools were making. So that's one thing. The second thing is also, I've been involved in the community since I moved here, and that was in 2007, and I love this place. I love the fact that we are a rural county. I love the land. I love the environment. I love the history. And so in looking at the fact that Story County is going to be is growing and will continue to grow, and in particular we'll be adding an entirely new community out at Painted Rock, which is between 2,000 and 4,000 homes, the culture and the values that those residents will be bringing to Story County may be, and I'm guessing that they will be, markedly different than our rural culture and values are. And so I look at that and go, you know, we're going to have to balance all of the needs of our communities, including Painted Rock, and ensure that what makes Story County the place we love, which is essentially rural, with on the positive side of rural, is maintained. And I've got a very diverse background. I've got different views. I've got similar views. And I think that I can bring some out-of-the-box thinking and some new eyes to that commission with respect to these issues.
Social media or contact information, if somebody wants to get a hold of you, be it ask a question or meet with you or find out where you're going to be making your next public appearance, how can someone reach you?
They can reach me via email at Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E, at bardcampaign.com. So that's Bard, B as in boy, A-R-D as in David, E, campaign.com. Or they can call me at 775-583-8047.
Okay.
And the website is also bardcampaign.com.
Yes.
And it's a great website.
Okay.
There's so much great information there. And let me also say, too, having spent all the time that you did at a company like Intel, I think you're the perfect liaison for what's going on out at Trick. I mean, you know, they're all corporate technical companies, and, you know, with your background, I think you really understand who and what they are and you know, can really understand that growth and their needs.
I think not only am I the only candidate in this race that has this background, I'm the only looking at the current slate of commissioners, none of them have worked in a large corporation. Not only have I worked in a large corporation, I worked for a Silicon Valley corporation.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Which is what these companies are.
Yeah.
So,
and that brings me to another question. In working with it, I reviewed a video of a commissioner's meeting, I believe, or I don't know if it was a commissioner meeting, it was a meeting that was going on, and it was talking about TRI, it was talking about the pipeline, it was all these things that we're going to get into during the show here. But one thing that was mentioned on there by an individual, you can bring up his name if you want to, if you recall the comment that was made, but they was talking about all the money that you have saved Intel through tax abatements, through things. I mean, you literally, for your employer, saved them or made them millions and millions of dollars in what you did, but he was making it sound like it was a bad thing. Is it really a bad thing to do your job and make money for your company? Did I word that question right?
Okay. What it was, I had read into the record of that meeting an objection to the use of public money for the TRI effluent pipeline.
Public money being the key thing, and we'll come back to that.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I support the pipeline. The companies out there need the water. I worked for a manufacturing company because we manufactured integrated circuits. I know the importance of water. So I support that, and I support the county helping them do it. I do not support the use of public funds. And then what happened was an individual got up to say that Nicole Bard, who worked for a large corporation, who itself was the recipient of $5.8 billion of state tax abatements is, you know, being disingenuous or, you know, basically, you know, you work for a company who got abatements and now you're against big companies and you're against abatements.
Okay.
And so I personally did nothing. I mean, that the company got those abatements. I didn't save Intel money. I mean, he was talking about how can you be against large companies getting abatements when you worked for a company that received abatements. And so I got up afterwards and I said, well, then that makes me eminently qualified for this job because I've worked for a company on the corporate side that sought out those abatements.
Yeah.
And later, not in that meeting, I wrote about the fact that if you go back and study what Intel, in fact, got as part of the Oregon and New Mexico tax abatements, they were also required to give a lot.
Right.
And my issue this time with this pipeline is that our commissioners have done nothing that is public that I can see that has negotiated anything in order for us as a county or even citizens to benefit from this pipeline directly.
Right. Yeah, I mean, when I was listening to the video, at first I thought, well, that's quite a compliment. I mean, he made a very, very strong point and complimented you in the success of your job in the corporate world. And I thought it was really good. I later found out that he's not necessarily a supporter of yours. But I have to say that what he said was very encouraging in that when you follow through with your commitment, in this case it was to Intel, in this case it might be as a county commissioner to the county, when you make a commitment, you follow through and you do well. That's what I got out of what he said, but come to find out later, he didn't really mean compliment you.
It was not a compliment. He does not compliment me, ever.
You're listening to Crap, Lies, and Rumors with me, Dee Gregory, Kelly Rush, our guest today, Nicole Bard, candidate for Story County Commissioner. I want to thank you folks for joining us. If you have any questions at all, feel free to call us from anywhere in the world, toll free 844-790-TALK. That's 844-790-8255. You're listening to Crap, Lies, and Rumors on KCKQ 1180. My name is Dee Gregory, and we'll be right back after this.
Now the race is on, and here comes pride at the back stretch. Heartaches are going to the inside. My tears are holding back. They're trying not to fall. My heart's out of the running. True love's stretched for another's sake. The race is on and it looks like heartaches. And the winner loses all.
Hello and welcome back to Crap, Lies, and Rumors. My name is Dee Gregory. You listen to KCKQ 1180 AM, World Wide Web, AmericaMatters.us. If you have any questions or comments, you can call us live on the air, 844-790-TALK, 844-790-8255. My guest today is Nicole Bard, candidate for Commissioner Story County. So many questions I still want to get to, and the show is halfway done, so I want to get straight to a couple of things. If you are elected as the next commissioner, excuse me, in Story County, can you just hit the top two or three priorities on your list that you think require immediate attention that you'd get to work on right away?
Well, my first priority, and it's the first challenge, as I call it, on my platform, is I want to maintain and enhance our community and our rural way of life. So, to a large extent, that is the result of what I want all of the other actions that we as a commission do. And what that means is we need to leverage our success with TRI to support and strengthen our community services and to preserve our rich history.
Okay.
So anything else that comes up, as far as I'm concerned, my eye on the prize is our environment, our rural culture and values. And I think the way to do that, one of the ways to do that is in how we work with TRI. They have been a very good community resident in how they have approached and helped with our wild horse situation. I mean, I've got to give this to Lance Gilman. Lance Gilman has been an absolute hero in my book in working with those companies to get them consolidated in the approach that says, hey, we want these horses on our range and we want them healthy. And so TRI companies are a good neighbor from that standpoint. There's a lot more that they can do with us.
I want to get to the pipeline. I want to get to tax abatements. I want to get up to upcoming appearances. I want to talk about the senior center and some of the things much needed in Story County. But first, we're going to go to the lightning round. Three questions. The answer are one word only, crap, lie, or rumor. Now, if it happens to be the truth, then just say it's true. I guess that would be the fourth answer. But crap, lie, or rumor. The first one is about the wild horses that are on the Virginia City, on the range up there, about 3,000 horses, 2,700 to 3,000 horses. Crap, lie, or rumors. You don't care about the horses, nor will you ever do anything to help them.
That's crap.
Okay.
And that's a lie. And that's a rumor.
No, but it's one answer.
Oh.
Which one best fits that statement?
A lie.
Okay, it's a lie. All right, second, the pipeline for TRI, if you could crush it, get away, absolutely erase it, and do away with it today, you would do that.
Lie.
Okay, that's a lie. And then the last question is, Story County, as it sits right now, with regards to the senior citizen, retired, those who need assistance, that there really is nothing else that could be done or needs to be done to help them in their future.
Lie.
Okay. All right. So with those, we will elaborate on some of those. First and foremost, the horses. If you get elected, okay, let me first disclose this. I met you about 5 years ago. So I've known of you for about 5 years. I really got to know you kind of recently, got to know a little bit more about you. And that was on the personal side, not necessarily political. And then you start running for the office. So I got to know you more. So I do want to disclose for everybody out there that we didn't meet just for the first time recently. All right.
Right.
But with that, in doing my research, it appears as though for 4 or 5 years, maybe more, you have been to almost every single county commissioner meeting that there was, but yet you're not a commissioner. Why would you do that?
I actually started attending in 2009. A friend of mine asked me to go. She says, oh, these are really interesting. You should go. So I started going. And I found them fascinating for any number of reasons. It's the watching of the sausage being made. I go to the meetings because, when normal people, and by normal, I mean people who are working, people who are raising a family, and me, certainly when I was working, don't have the time to necessarily get involved in their community broadly. And I didn't. I was working, 50, 60 hours a week. And in my retirement, I decided that I would be doing volunteer work, and that's what I do with SCORE because I'm a mentor and I help small businesses, startups, et cetera, there. But I also made a conscious decision, a choice, to get involved in the community, and that's why I started to attend those meetings. I have attended more commission meetings than any sitting commissioner and probably more commission meetings than any past commissioner because, like I said, I've been going since 2009. I've had breaks in there.
And so, but with that, then, there is ensured and guaranteed continuity. I mean, if you get elected, you will come into that office knowing what they've talked about, decisions they've made over the last 4, 5, 6 years, well, maybe as much as 8 years.
Yeah. Continuity, I, have context of it. I have history of some of the issues. I know some of who the old players are. I've been through 6 budget cycles. And so I understand the vagaries and the weirdness of government accounting, not just from observing it, but also standing up in those meetings and asking questions, as well as sitting down with our comptroller, Hugh Gallagher, who's always kind enough to walk me through questions that I have. And I've been doing that for years.
So 2,700 wild horses that roam the Virginia range, some of them actually wander right into our driveway. I mean, our driveway.
My yard,
Lacey and I, right there, that you wake up in the morning, there's horses standing there in the driveway. What would you do, if anything, to help preserve their future while still, I think you made the, I heard you at one point in a public appearance make a comment, something to the effect of the wild horses to preserve or recognize their history while preserve their future while honoring their past or something like that. It was very profound what you said. So it tells me that you do support them. But what would you do different than what's being done now to ensure that these horses have a future and remain safe on the Virginia range?
Well, first of all, I would, and I have this as part of my platform, I would like to have a feasible county strategy that addresses the issues and the needs of our wildlife, meaning, the horses, as well as the environment. We've got the national, the county associations looking at sage grouse, which is nice. But I don't have sage grouse in my yard. I have horses in my yard.
Yeah.
I can't ride a sage grouse. I could try. No.
Well, and the sage grouse can feed themselves.
That's
they're fully self-sufficient.
Right. So, no, I think it's time for the county to really step up and at least come up with a position statement. It doesn't mean there's going to be liability involved because, you know, liability is a big issue with the horses because there are public safety issues, and I understand that. And there are people who don't like the horses because they come in and eat their grass and their roses. I get that. However, it's we own that stewardship. And so one of the things that I would do immediately would be to look at, so what would our county strategy be? What can we do to help the horse advocates in helping with stewarding the horse?
Ultimately, do you mind if these horses are in your front yard?
Me, no, because I live up in the highlands, and you know, my landscaping is gravel.
Okay.
I'm more concerned with defensible space than I am with grass and roses.
Last question with the horses. You're driving down State Route 341. You have to come to a complete stop because the horses are standing in the middle of the road. Is that not an issue with you?
It's an issue, God love them, because they can get hit because people speed up there. When I see that happening, I depending on what the situation is, I've pulled my car over, I put my flashers on, I've gotten in the street to try to keep cars from hitting them so that they can cross. I mean, that's dangerous, and I don't advise it. However, I mean, I'm very committed to their safety.
Okay. All right. Pipeline. Before we go to the break, the pipeline... It sounds like you, the reason I ask you the crap liar rumors, because some say that you're adamantly against it and want to get rid of it. But tell us, in 30 seconds or less, maybe tough, where do you stand on the pipeline itself? Not what is making it come together, but the physical pipeline and feeding water to that. Do you agree it's needed?
Has to be done, has to be built. Needs to get done.
So you support it?
Absolutely.
Absolutely support it. Never try to stop.
Manufacturing needs water. Servers need cooling. Now you can cool it through electricity, which is hellishly expensive, or you can do it in a more economic way, you know, through water. So I support the pipeline. I've never not supported the pipeline. I don't want public funds to pay for it since those companies have abatements already.
Well, and I think that's the big thing that people don't understand. Everybody, you know, cheered, you know, big time. Oh, Google and Switch, yay, they're out there, jobs. They don't understand that these are data centers. They are warehouses full of computers that suck up water. They only need about 100 people to run them.
Right.
And so I hear through some material that you handed out at a meeting some time back up in the Highlands that in the end, out of its 15 years, 20 years from now, that very pipeline that would be paid for would then be deeded over to those people. So is it true that the county, in the end, would not even own the pipeline?
Yeah, and that's kind of the double negative that just doesn't sit right with me. Not only is it going to be public money that pays for that pipeline, but the pipeline asset itself will be then reconveyed over, deeded over to the TRIGID. We won't even own it.
So Will, in the end, when it's deeded over and we look back on everything, is there a dollar to be made by Story County, a loss to be made, or is it an even wash? 5 seconds.
County makes no money off the pipeline whatsoever. The reason that is given that the public funds...
But will it cost them in the
end? Yes, because they're diverting taxes from the general fund back to the companies in this pretend sham that the companies, are paying for the pipeline.
And we're going to talk about that after the break. My name is Dee Gregory. This is Crap, Lies, and Rumors. Thank you for joining us. We're going to be back right after this. Hello and welcome back to Crap, Lies, and Rumors. My name is Dee Gregory. My guest today, Nicole Bard, candidate for Story County Commissioner. And man, I mean, every time I ask a question, I think of three more. So let me get to this one right up front with regards to the pipeline, to the industry building up and developing out there. Rumor has it, or I heard somewhere that a company may pull out. If the county does not do this, that a company either has or has threatened to pull out of this whole deal if Story doesn't come up with $50 million or something like that?
No.
Okay, help me out.
Okay. The process that has been going on in these Story County Commission meetings is they are going through all of the required process to establish the special assessment district, which has to be read into the record twice, those two separate meetings,
right,
to establish the tax increment area. They have to establish, they have to approve officially having an assessor assess what the right-of-ways are going to cost and what the total cost of the project is. So in the Story County Commission meetings, they're going through the process to get to the point where they will make a decision as whether to approve or not approve using public money to fund this. So that's the process. Meanwhile, you've got six companies. Each company has one or two lawyers, and the county has its two lawyers, and then the developer, Roger Norman, has a lawyer. And you got a room full of lawyers, and what happens? Nothing. So they all have to come up with, they all have to agree on the document that is the agreement. So that's what's been going on. So the county hasn't approved anything. The county is just moving this process along. At the last commission meeting, they had 15 items on that agenda having to do with passing the special assessment district, blah, blah, blah. And there was an announcement that was made that says these items will have to get postponed indefinitely because we've just received news that one of the companies in the agreement, which is six companies, has pulled out.
It has.
It has pulled out. We don't know who the company, they did not say who the company is. They did not say why they pulled out. I can't believe, I mean, you made the statement, is it because the county won't pay the $50, $60 million? No, nothing else, but that was said, that these items on the agenda are pushed out because.
You think it's a scare tactic or you think it's real? Is it a bluff?
I don't know. Hmm. I don't know. I mean, to me, something we need to realize about the companies, any company, small company or big company, they will do whatever is in their best interest, in their self-interest.
Rewind back up a few years. Why do you think Story County made this decision?
Which decision?
The decision to construct the pipeline the way that it is, in that they get basically a loan from the state, they pay it off. In the end, they sign the pipeline over, and then they give up all but a baseline of revenue coming in the future and all the profit. Why would Story County do that? I hope I asked this question the right way. I don't know if I did or not.
Well, first of all, Story County has not decided to do that yet. As I said, they're going through all of the process that is required to get to the point where they will make that decision. I know that the commissioners... and Lance Gilman had to recuse himself, as he often does. The commissioners and the county manager are really looking at all sides of this to see what is and is, you know, is this in the benefit of for the county? And they're putting in all kinds of contingencies to buffer the county from any liability, any default, any holding of the bag if somebody pulls out, you know, when this is happening. So they're doing their job due diligence-wise. Their rationale for approving it, should they approve it? Remember, they haven't said yes or no.
I get that. Yeah.
Their rationale, and it makes sense, is that by helping those companies get this water, those companies will develop that land more quickly. The land will be worth more. We will be able to get higher taxes. Okay.
Okay.
So that makes sense. What doesn't make sense to me is that those companies are either going to develop or not develop that land on their own anyway. If they're going to need the water, they've $35 million, which is what the bond is, but it's going to be 60 after interest is paid over 20, 25 years, is an ATM transaction to them. And why would, I mean, we've given them abatements and incentives, and the residents of this state aren't stupid. We know you need to spend money to make money. And so giving those abatements to get those companies there, okay, fine, that's the cost of doing business. But the continued request from those companies who have these abatements for continued public money is what I object to.
Well, and in the end, if I read the paperwork properly, and I think I did because I asked this question to somebody before, is it post-development, and I believe there's talk about a hotel, a strip mall, there's a series of things that are a lake and everything else. The post-development, why in the world, and does this make sense to you, if you were a commissioner, would you vote for saying, all right, we will take this right here, this amount of money, but any and all revenue above that you can keep yourself? Why would we give up future revenue on a developed portion of land in Story County? Why would we give that profit to somebody else? That's what I don't understand. Is that not what's happening or will happen if it's approved?
In a nutshell, yes, and I wouldn't approve it. Again, it's diverting tax. What is happening is the companies pay a certain amount of tax on that land. Now, the land isn't developed, so
right.
the tax rate is low.
Right.
And so let's say we're getting $100 for all of that. If with the water and when they develop, that land will go from being worth $100 to, let's say, $500.
Okay.
And what is happening is a portion of that increase, the increment, the tax increment,
right.
from $100 to $500, so the $400, a portion of that $400 is being given back to the companies to reimburse them for giving the county the bond payment out of the special assessment district. I mean, that's what people don't understand. There's two parts to this. The front end part is a special assessment district where those companies get assessed the payment for the bond that the county just took out. So if the county owes, you know, a $2 million bond payment this year, the companies will give the county $2 million for the county to pay for it. That sounds great, doesn't it? On the back end, the county is then reimbursing those companies that $2 million payment that they just gave the county.
But,
and that's through diverting their property taxes away from the general fund back to them.
As a county commissioner, it's your job, one of three people, to run the county as a business while treating everybody like family, taking care of them. You still got a business to run. Does it not make sense, or am I way out in left field on this? Does it not make sense if the county could float a bond that the county pay for the pipeline, ultimately the county owns the pipeline, allows and enhances development, and then keeps all of the revenue that would come in, as they do in every other area of the county where somebody develops and taxes go up and that money comes back in to maybe perhaps build senior centers where it might be needed, which I want to hit on that too. But doesn't that make sense to do that? Why are we getting involved, taking on a liability, and then removing ourselves from something and turn it all over to somebody else?
Well, a couple of reasons. One, I don't know, because I don't know what the business case would be for the county to own it. I mean, it has to make sense. It has to pencil out, first of all. The second thing is, okay, fine. So once you build that pipeline, who owns maintaining it? Is that going to be the county? That's more expense. So, you know, I don't know that it makes good business sense, because I haven't done the numbers, but for the county to own that pipeline, I don't think we want it. We're not in the pipeline business. I mean, it's infrastructure outside the county.
And we got to get water there. Who owns all the water rights going into there?
TRI developer Lance Gilman, Roger Norman, have been buying up water rights since the dawn of time. You can't sell property without water in this state.
So while property was being subdivided, developed, put up for sale, and ultimately farmed out and money made, water rights were being purchased
to support the existing companies. Now, I don't know, because I don't know if they knew how much manufacturing would be there, and that manufacturing would need more water, which is why they're looking at bringing in this effluent.
You're very involved, highly involved in the senior center. I know we're down to just minutes now, but I want to thank you for educating me on something. I made some statements about somebody at a meeting, open meeting that you had. I was wrong when I did it, but it really wasn't realized until you intervened just briefly. That said, that I even surprised you, were very disappointed in something I said. I want to thank you for bringing that to my attention. I did apologize to the lady who I spoke ill of. I believe we're okay on everything now, but it was your stepping in last moment, intervening, and saying that you've always just worked toward trying to keep everybody together and working together as a team, and because we all live together. And by saying that I even disappointed you, that crushed me in a way that I felt compelled to say that I was sorry, and I truly am sorry. So I her and I have talked, so I just wanted to thank you publicly for intervening there. And that was something that, well, I just think it's classic.
Well, you were a bad boy.
I was. I absolutely was, and you brought it to my attention. And that's what I respect, the fact that you will not hold back if it's something you truly believe in. If you get elected county commissioner, you got your work cut out. I mean, you're going to be working in a group of guys up there, many of which dig their heels in. Let me, if we have time, I'll ask you some other ones, but right now tell us why we should vote for you. We've only got 1 minute left. Why should I vote for you on election day?
I think it's two reasons. One is, if you look at my background, you look at my history, both my community involvement and my professional experience, I think I'm very well prepared to deal with the kinds of issues that face Story County. So that's number one. Number two is, I'm not promising to represent the citizens of Story County. I've been doing it for the last 5 and 6 years. I'm not promising to keep taxes low, to protect our interests. I've been doing it. I have a track record.
You're not going to start doing something you've already been doing.
No, I've been doing it. I don't have campaign promises. I have actual walking the talk.
Right.
People know exactly what to expect from me. What I say is, you know, Republicans elected a Republican governor, and yet here we have the commerce tax.
Yeah.
He had an R behind his name. You're not going to get that kind of surprise with me.
Okay, here's what I want to do. I've run out of time, and there's way too much to do. I'd like to have you back, if possible, prior to election. Could I get to have you back at least for a half a show, if not a whole show? We've reached out to your opponent as well. If he accepts it, again,
of
we'd
course.
Love to have him. Can I have you back? I'm so sorry we ran out of time. Folks, you're listening to Crap, Lies, and Rumors. Guest today, Nicole Bard, candidate for Story County Commission. You can get read more about her at or contact her, Nicole@BardCampaign.com. I encourage you to do that. Of all the choices you had today out there, folks, you chose us. You chose Crap, Lies, and Rumors, and I do thank you. We'll talk to you folks again next week.